Romans chapter number 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 is where we got to. We'll try to deal with these verses. We finished up chapter 13 last Wednesday night and got into a little bit of chapter 14. And we want to do that just a little more again tonight. I may just hit the high points in chapter 14. And we'll take care of 15 and 16 later. And then we'll move on to another book or another study of some kind. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 12, as you already know, we've said this just about every Wednesday night, talks about Christian living. Now that you're saved, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to present my body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable just to serve God. It's just reasonable. There's nothing else extra that he's asked us to do. Just do the reasonable thing and serve the Lord. Chapter 13 deals with our relationship with the government, how the powers that be ordained of God. We are subject unto those powers and all of those different things we looked at in chapter 13. Then in chapter 14 is dealing with how we relate to people, how we deal with people. How do we deal with other Christian people? I don't know if you know this or not, but every saved person don't agree on everything. They may not comb their hair just like you do. And they may not have visitation on Thursday night at 7 like the Bible says to do. Now, to hear some preachers preach, you would think visitation at 7 o'clock on Thursday night is in the Bible. Because if you don't go out on visitation on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, like it says in the Bible, then you're not as spiritual as I am. And we've heard that. Now, for those of you that are visiting with it, y'all know I'm just joking. But I have heard you would actually believe, you would believe some of the stuff that is preached, and it's called preaching from the Bible, and there's not a lick of Bible with it. Now, y'all help me now. We'll get into it in just a minute. But chapter 14 is just dealing with people, where they are, where they live. Hey, guess what? When a person gets saved, the next Sunday that they get saved, do not expect them to know 12 verses on imputation, justification, sanctification, glorification. They're babes in Christ. Give them time to grow. If they don't do something just right, grow. Let them grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so that's what chapter 14 is dealing with. We have so many, especially in our independent fundamental, King James only, no literature, King James only, no literature, white shirts only, wire rim glasses, and the whole nine yards. We have a stigma that we come across. Folks, we need to learn. I don't know about anybody else. I'm just talking about us. We need to learn to work with people and grow people. And listen, just to have bragging rights. I've heard preachers talk about even, and they'll say it around me a little bit. They don't know that I'm listening. Well, any church that runs 300, they ain't preaching the Bible. They ain't preaching. Let me come in there. I'll get rid of about half of them. And all they doing is showing how ignorant they are. Amen. There's 300 people, and we have them on Sunday morning, that want the truth. And we don't compromise here. Chapter 14. This is what chapter 14 is dealing with. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Do not get in an argument that's not worth winning. Let me say that again. Do not get in an argument with somebody, a weaker brethren, when there's nothing to gain by winning the argument. Yeah. I mean, sometimes we are so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good to anybody. And sometimes somebody is not going to agree with just every little detail that we do in our Christian life. There are some things in the Bible that's not spelled out in black and white. There are some things that God wants us to pray about, get peace about, let every man be persuaded in his mind, fully persuaded in his own mind. I'm not talking about the doctrines of the faith. I'm not talking about the virgin birth. We're not moving from the virgin birth. We're not moving from the King James Bible. We're not moving from the second coming of Christ. We're not moving from the vicarious death of Christ. We're not moving from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those are fundamentals of the faith that we stand on. We will fight for them. They are convictions that we stand on. We will fight until our dying day for those convictions. But what kind of glasses a man wears, what kind of shoes that he has to wear behind our pulpit.
Yeah.
Now, some of you, you don't believe what I'm saying, but I know some, if you don't wear a certain thing, you can't preach behind it. My first question is, where's the verse on it? That's what chapter 14 is dealing with. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not the doubtful disputations. For one, all right, here's the example. You got two examples. The first example is going to be over dietary laws. The second one's going to be what day of the week you meet to worship. Now watch. The first example is this. For one believeth that he may eat all things.
Amen.
That's me. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Now you remember last week we said anybody that's a vegetarian is weak in the faith. That's Bible. I'm joking per se, but don't miss the point. Now watch verse 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Now, there are some folks that cannot eat everything that they incite like I do. There are some folks that cannot eat the fried foods. They've been advised by their doctor not to eat those fried foods because it's hazardous to their health. It is not my job to look at them and say, well, you're not as spiritual as me because I can eat anything I want to. So you're not as spiritual as me. I'm up here. You're down here. No, people. All right, let's bring it down to where, well, let's bring it down a little bit where we live. All right. All right. Where should I go? There is a difference. Y'all ready? Remember this. There is a difference in Bible convictions and standards. Bible convictions are based on the Bible. Bible convictions are based upon the Bible. We have verses to go to prove our convictions. Everybody has standards that they go by. Most standards are not based upon the Bible. They're based upon personal preference. I know preachers in our independent Baptist movement, and I love them. I preach for them. But if you don't have a white shirt on, you can't preach behind their pulpit. If you walked in with a pink shirt on and a tie, they'd laugh you out of the place. There's nothing in the Bible about it whatsoever. Amen. That is a standard of preference that they go by. And guess what? That's okay. As long as you don't tell me that to be as spiritual as me, I'm going to have to push my standard upon you for you to be as spiritual as me, you're going to have to succumb to my standards and the way they preach their standards, everything they preach in their standard, it's in the Bible. And it ain't in the Bible. Watch the verse. Let not him that eateth despise him that don't wear a white shirt. Let him that weareth a white shirt, and that is his standard of conviction, don't despise him that don't wear one. Are you with me? All right, let's read it. Let's read some more. Let not him that uses the PowerPoint to teach with despise him that preaches against the PowerPoint. Are you with me? Come on, people. I've heard it all. Wire-rimmed glasses. Used to. That, we don't hear that much anymore. But you have to have certain glasses. Well, the only reason I got these is because they was the cheapest Walmart had. I didn't go to the Bible to find out what kind of glasses to go buy. I just told me, give me the cheap kind. Give me these. I'll put them on and wear them. And then you got some preacher that'll beat the pulpit and tell me I got the wrong kind of glasses on to be as spiritual as he is. Watch this one. I know a preacher that he had facial hair. And to be honest, y'all want to know? Watch this. This is my preference. I'm going to tell y'all what my preference. I don't have a verse for it, but I just don't like it. Now I'm talking about for preachers. I don't have a verse for it. If you got it, I don't have any verses to go to say you ought not have. Because you got about as many to turn back on me and say Jesus had a beard and plucked his beard out. So, that's what I best me. But I know a preacher who knew this other people invited him to come. And he found out. He saw a picture of him on the internet or something. He had a little goatee, a little facial around there. So he called the brother. And he said, brother, I didn't realize this. I mean, he's already in town. He's fixing to preach that night. He said, brother, I would prefer you'd shave tonight before you preach because we don't allow preachers to have facial hair behind our pulpit. And so the visiting preacher that had the goatee asked the preacher, the pastor said, do you have eyebrows? Facial hair is facial hair. So he told him, he said, pastor, if you'll shave your eyebrows, I'll shave my goatee. Then that pastor said, well, it's okay. We'll let you preach. Because his standard was just a standard and it wasn't a Bible-based conviction. You have to be careful how you judge folks. Again, we're not talking about sinful. We're not talking about somebody in deep, dark sin. Call it out. Call it like you see it. Hallelujah. Amen. We're talking about something different in chapter 14. We're talking about how to deal with people. Now, notice verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Now, watch this characterization. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up. For God is able to take him make him to stand. Now watch this. Let me give you an example. Two men work on a job. They're working in a factory. One of the men looks at the other and says, you are doing a terrible job. Now, it doesn't matter if that man thinks you're doing a terrible job or not. What does the boss think? Let me read the verse again. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Guess who I am? I am a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't matter. Again, Well, I got to make this statement because you're going to go out and say, well, Brother Jeremy says just everything's wide open. No, I didn't. I'm not talking about open sin. I'm not talking about disregarding the Bible completely. I'm talking about those things that are not in black and white in the Bible. Those things are irrelevant. And you look at me and go, well, I just think you're doing a terrible job. I said, well, let me ask the boss, and I pray and ask God. He says, you go ahead, you're doing what I'm told you to do. Yeah. Hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Bob Jones Sr. said this, one man and God makes a majority. If you're doing what God told you to do, the way He told you to do it, then you can stand against the adversary.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12 says this, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. You say, preacher, what does that mean? All things are lawful, but all things may not be appropriate. It goes on further, says, I will not be brought under the power of any. Question, is there anything wrong with going out and getting you a Coca-Cola and a Baby Ruth candy bar and drinking that Coke and eating that candy bar? Not a thing wrong with it at all. But if you are under the power of it and it controls your life and you can't pass a station without your car automatically turns into the thing and gets one, there's nothing wrong with it in itself, but my friend, something's got to hold of you. All things are lawful, but it may not be appropriate for you to do. Some people can't handle a television in their house. Some people will get in trouble in 30 minutes on television. They can't handle it. All things lawful. Hey, nothing wrong with Andy Griffin. Hallelujah. Who don't like Andy Griffin? Who don't like Barney? Who don't like I Love Lucy? Anything in black and white, you can watch it. But now there are some that is controlled by it. It's the first thing they have to do in the morning. They got to turn it on. It's the last thing they got to do. They got to go. They've got to have it. They cannot go without their show. They cannot go without their program. They cannot go one day without their so and so. And they've got to watch so and so because it's real. And you heard about the lady that came in one time, and I don't know if it's a joke, it's for real. I don't know, but she asked prayer requests for one of them soap opera folks because they was going through a hard time, and she was honestly, she had prayer. She said, Lord. Lord, we need to pray for that person because they're going through it today. They are under the power of something. And my friend, that's wrong. That is definitely wrong. Now look at verse number 5. One man esteemeth one day. Here's the second example. First one is dietary laws. The second one, watch this. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth regard it, or do not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. I'll get to that in just a second, but watch this. It's what we're talking about. Talking about one person esteems. Some people uphold, our Seventh-day Adventist friends, they uphold the seventh day, the Saturday, the Sabbath day. They observe, that's a holy day unto them. Now, in some aspects, for us Christians, we uphold Sunday as the first day of the week. We esteem this as a holy day, if you will. But let me let you on a little secret. Sunday is not the Lord's day. Every day is the Lord's day. And so some folks esteem one day more highly than they do the other. Now, what do? You're going to just go in and knock down, drag out, divide the whole church over the whole issue? Some folks don't think it's wrong to go out and eat on Sunday afternoon. Another preacher or somebody else you might ask, say, no, no way, Jose, would you ought to, or you ought to go out and eat on Sunday, because you are accommodating those people that are missing church and they're working. And the reason they're having to work is because unspiritual people like you that go out and eat at those places, because those people have to work. If you wouldn't go to those places, then they wouldn't have to work. Then you got somebody else that goes, well, Sunday is my only day that we don't cook. We go out and eat on Sunday. That's our day of rest. My wife cooks every other day, and so Sunday is the day we go out and eat somewhere else. All right? Who's right and who's wrong? What are we going to do? Divide the church over it? What Paul is saying is, hey, if you know, this is what he's saying, if you know that a person's conviction or their standard is they don't go out and eat on Sunday, they don't go shopping, the grocery shopping on Sunday, they don't mow their yard on Sunday, which are fine. That's great. Wonderful. But if you know that that person has those convictions, don't go up to him after church on Sunday morning and go, hey, you want to go out and eat with me today? Do not cause doubtful disputations. Well, I'm right. Well, sometimes pride, I think pride, Bible says pride goeth before destruction, Holy Spirit before a fall. Some people have to be right. Some people have to have the last word. Somebody, yeah, I've heard people say this, Independent Baptists, we may not always be right, but we're never in doubt. Now, look at verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Now, watch this. Here's a principle you need to get out of chapter 14. Let not your good. Is there anything wrong with mowing your yard on Sunday? I don't know of a verse I could go to that would say that you can't mow your yard on Sunday. Afternoon. Church is not going on. Mowing on Sunday afternoon. But watch this. Let not your good be evil spoken of. Guess what? There is a lost and dying world out there that even though they don't come to church on Sunday, they uphold it as a holy day. And they're watching to see what you do on that particular holy day. Is there anything wrong with it? Probably not. I don't have a verse for it. But what I'm telling you is, verse 16 is in the Bible for this reason. Be careful. Don't let your good be evil spoken. Anything wrong with it? Is it good to do? Help yourself. Not a verse I can go to that says you ought not do it. But verse 16 says, don't let your good be evil spoken of. People are looking. They're watching. Watch this. Y'all ready? Again, anything wrong with Facebook? I can't go to a verse in the Bible and talk about a verse in the Bible against Facebook, but watch this. Y'all ready? Y'all want to see it get real quiet in the building? Yeah. Y'all ready? Not anything particular that I can say is wrong with it per se, anyway. But watch this. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. If you post stuff on Facebook at 6 o'clock on Sunday night, ...7 o'clock on Wednesday night. The lost and dying world that your friends on there, they see what you're doing during church time. Let not your good be evil spoken of. Is there anything wrong with it? No. I don't care if you are witnessing to somebody on there. You're not going to have a very good witness when they turn around and go, ain't it 6:15 on Sunday night? I mean, you're witnessing to me and all, but aren't you supposed to be down at Holy Hills?
Right.
I was looking for a few more help, a little more help than that. You see how? See, chapter 14 is a wonderful, wonderful chapter on just dealing with people. Be careful. Be careful about how we have our standards and our convictions. Be careful. Like I said last week, if I was going to lead or try to lead a Jewish person to the Lord, I would not take him to Neil's Barbecue. Why? Is there anything wrong with Neil's Barbecue? No. Nothing. Hallelujah, nothing wrong with it. I'm going to try to win this Jewish man to the Lord. He thinks something's wrong with it. So what am I going to do? What I'm going to do is try to win that man or woman or whatever. I'm going to try to win that person by avoiding doubtful disputations. I don't always have to be right. I get on the phone with this Jewish man. Hey, you need to get right with God. It's okay to go to Neil's. No, preacher, it's not. I'd rather not go there. That's my conviction. That's my preference. That's my standard. I just want to go. Well, you're just get right with God. You ain't got any verses for it. Except he'll take you to Leviticus. And then I would turn around and take him to Acts 10, where God says, what I've cleansed, call not thou unclean. Kill it and eat. He'd go back to Leviticus. I'd go back to another place. And it would be a never end. We'd be doubtful, disputing over what to eat, where to go to lunch at. And the man needs to be saved. I didn't mean to holler, but I just, I get so agitated. People put their, anyway, Lord, help. Keep your eye on what you're doing. Hey, you know this, watch. Watch this. You know, especially back when we were in our other building, on fifth Sundays, we'd have a long service. We'd have morning service. We'd have a meal. We'd go eat in the meal. And then we'd come back and have an afternoon service, 1:30, 2 o'clock, something like that. And then we wouldn't have service at night. You with me? Y'all remember we called that a turnaround service. I love doing those. We do them every fifth, we try to do every fifth Sunday. And sometimes some of the guys around here, now, is it all right to testify a minute? Y'all don't go out and talk about me. Be careful. Don't let your good be evil spoken. Some of the guys will go, hey, we don't have church tonight. We've already been to church twice. Let's go to Newbern and play 9 holes of golf. Tony's like, hey, man, hallelujah. And look, y'all, some people can do it. And they can be fully persuaded in their own mind that that's okay. And that is for them. I never could do it with a clear conscience. Is there anything wrong with it? No. But what if somebody drove by 6 o'clock? What's he doing out there? Ain't that bald-headed preacher from Holy Hills? And he hollered and carried on the radio about the King James Bible and all that kind of stuff? They don't know we done been to church twice. Now, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. Read the verse. Where's it at? Somebody hollered out. Let everybody, a man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Oh, verse 5, the end of verse 5. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. That's a gray area. Right, wrong? I can't tell you. You have to be fully persuaded in your own mind that what you're doing is God is saying, yes, that's fine. I'm going to let God be the judge. I can't judge another man's servant. You got to ask the boss. Now, don't go out and say, well, Brother Jeremy said he's preaching against playing golf on Sunday. I didn't. I'm saying I can't get peace about it.
Yeah, right.
You say, have I done it? Yes, I've done it before. Yeah. And I was, my dad said, I don't even think he knew about that, really. Until now, all the time I was out there, I was looking. See who's watching. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. That's what he's talking about in chapter 14. Learn how to deal with people. And what? Verse 13. I'm done. I know what time it is. 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Now watch. We're not talking about open sin. We're not talking about somebody that don't believe the virgin birth. We're not talking about the Mormons. We're not talking about Jehovah's Witness. We're not talking about those that are going contrary to the Word of God. The context is those gray areas, those doubtful disputations, those things that really don't matter.
Right.
Don't judge somebody over something that don't matter. Okay, they don't believe in. I'm trying to pull something out of the air here. Okay, they don't believe in the gap. Okay, so what? Where'd Cain get his wife? It don't matter. Are you saved?
Yeah, that's right.
Then we can talk about frivolous stuff. You know? Where'd Cain get his wife, preacher? I've been wanting to know that. Before I get saved, I got to know that before I get saved. He got her from her mother. Verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. That's what you ought to be judging. Am I being a stumbling block from what I'm doing? Is it right? Probably there's no verses in the Bible that says it's wrong. But am I fully persuaded in my own mind that I've got clearance from God that this is okay? This is the will of God. I'm doing what God told me to do. Is this going to be a stumbling block if somebody sees me? I got to go. I told this story in Sunday school. Remember I told you? Those of you that was in Sunday school, I told you this. When I had that, it was about 13 years ago, I had the accident with the gunshot and all that kind of stuff, had surgery and this, that, and the other. And the doctor, Dr. Kent Jones, he told me this. He said, drink. He said, preacher, he was a good Methodist and all, and he said, drink a little glass of red wine every night before you go to bed. That'll heal your stomach lining. Now, what do? The doctor has prescribed it. Now I got an excuse. Hallelujah. Now I can claim the verse. Paul says, use a little wine for thy stomach's sake, now often infirmities. That doctor just proved what the Bible said. Now, what do? Is it wrong to go do it? Doctor said I could. He prescribed it. But here we go. All right. I got clearance. I pull up the liquor store, pull up in front of it. Holy Hill sticker on the back of my car. I get out, go in. And a lost person that was here Sunday morning that didn't get saved Sunday morning happens to be driving by and they do a double take. Am I doing what I was told to do by the doctor? Yes. Am I putting a stumbling block in my brother's way? Yeah. So guess what? And I told him in Sunday school, everybody's looking, I wonder if he did it. I didn't do it. Not that I'm more spiritual than anybody else. I couldn't get clearance on it. Couldn't get peace about it. I couldn't get peace about it. I was looking for any excuse to do it. No, I'm just kidding. Come on, people, lighten up. I was just kidding. Never drank four in my life, I promise. And I'm sitting there going, you know, as I do this, it's supposed to be. And of course, now somebody said in Sunday school about now they're proving that grape juice does the same thing. And, you know, he didn't tell me that part. But at any rate, that's a perfect example. Have we got time for one more? I'm just trying to help. First church I ever pastored. I first went there. Were you ready? First went there. Young, didn't know nothing. Didn't know how to work with people. Guess what? It came around December time. Y'all with me? I'll get criticized for this one, but I'm just personal testimony. I'll get criticized, but hang on. Come around December. Nobody asked me. They didn't know to ask me. They ain't never been trained. They didn't know to ask the pastor. I walk into church one day. The ladies are putting up a Christmas tree on the platform. All right. I'm going to get behind the pulpit, and I'm ripping their hide off. I'm taking the Christmas tree. I'm going to throw it out the window. Guess what? The first year, I let it go. Let it stay. And through the year, that coming year, I started teaching, started looking. Leave that stuff somewhere else. Take that to your house. If you want to have a Christmas tree, fine. Help yourself. Keep the birth of Christ and Santa Claus separate.
Yeah.
I don't care if you do Santa Claus. Help yourself. Help yourself. That's fine. Whatever. And let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Whatever you feel comfortable with, whatever you can sleep good at night with, help yourself. Christmas tree, yeah, that's fine. Just don't like one in the church. Did we have one the second year? No, because they said, preacher, you know, last year we really didn't ask you, but how do you really feel about that? I said, I really don't like it, to be honest. Never had one after that. I could have really hurt the church the first year by the weaker brethren not knowing any better. And I could have brought ourselves to doubtful disputations and messed the whole thing up. I'm telling you, be careful how you deal with people. God wants us to win people. He wants us to train people. He wants us to love people. And sometimes you got to put self out of the way when you're trying to love people. And I'll say this and I'm done. King James Bible, we stand on it. We're going to stand on it. We're going to stand on it until the Lord comes. We're going to stand on it. And we're going to stand on it after that. In heaven, we're going to stand on it. Thy word is forever settled in heaven. The King James Bible's already up there. It's originated up there. Hallelujah. Show you how fanatical I am. But I don't ever want to get the reputation. I said it last week. I'll say it this week. I never want to get the reputation that you can't come in Holy Hills unless you got a King James Bible. Tell them to bring whatever they want to bring in here. Now, somebody will go criticize me on that, but watch. There will come a day. It's happened. It has happened here in the last couple of weeks. Amen. And you don't know about it. But I said something just in passing one Sunday morning, got a couple Sunday mornings ago, about a verse not being in there. A young lady came to me later and said, can you tell me why that's not in mine? I showed her. She went and bought a good one.
Amen.
Now, I could have beat her over the head with mine the first Sunday she walked in here with an NIV. I could have beat her over the head with this one. And she'd have walked out, went down the road with her NIV under arm. We didn't read it, but the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to have to give an account for how we deal with people. Judgment seat of Christ, your convictions and your standards are not going to meet you at the judgment seat of Christ. How we dealt with people. Your standards and convictions are great. That's fine. Stand on them. Believe in them. That's what they're for. Do it. But when you're dealing with other people, you better learn how to work with people and love people where they're at. They don't know what you know. They don't know everything like you know everything.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right, I went over tonight, didn't I? Well, that's okay. God sure had to look over a whole lot of stuff to save me. He sure had to look over a bunch of my imperfections to save me. Sometimes you just have to look over stuff and try to help people. Amen. Well, anyway, maybe that'll help. All right, let's have some prayer requests. Who'll be first?